You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a mellow
episode. It's a nice team
of Uncanceled today because, well, I have a cup of tea here. And I've been doing this before I get on a microphone and speak lately, is I've been drinking some tea to loosen my vocal cords.
It's a good call.
And I have been, also, it's like just kind of dreary outside. So
it is. It's been rainy the last couple days.
Yeah, it's very melancholy, as they might say.
Good word.
Is that a good
word of the day?
Word of the day. How many times can I throw melancholy into this podcast?
You're going to forget about it as soon as you start.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm going to say I remember it one time and I throw it in one time.
I like that.
That's probably fair.
So the over-under is
it's
half.
One. Yeah, half. Half. It's half. All right. Well, once again on this melancholy day.
that doesn't count. that cannot count.
That doesn't count. You know, guys, I think this is a great rate that we're doing, and I'm excited to do it again.
Yeah.
So it is time to
rate that crumble cookie.
Here we go. Let's go. All right. I haven't even checked the flavors of the day.
He's one for one. He has to get today's right.
I think
that you can do it, but
he believes in me.
I don't know. I think it was a tough choice for me when I was looking at the flavors. I was like,
Dude, there are some options here.
There are some options.
I don't think you'd ever get a chocolate chip cookie because I just feel like that's a waste. So I'm always going to take that out. Although these are semi-sweet chocolate chunk cookies. German chocolate cake, I could totally see him getting that. Strawberry ice cream bar. Man, I do like some strawberry. Monster. That right there, a warm peanut butter dream brimming with M&M's milk chocolate. Man, that sounds, if it doesn't get much more of a ideal Ben cookie than that one right there. Blueberry crumb cake cookie. And then we have mint chip ice cream. All right, let's go through this a little bit.
Yeah, talk it out.
I don't think you got mint chip ice cream. I just kind of feel like, based on the options that are presenting itself, that mint chip really doesn't make sense for you to get, especially because I've never really even heard you talk about mint chip ice cream. I don't really think you're a big fan. And obviously, yes, you're considering me as well, but like, I just don't think you went for that. The strawberry ice cream bar. That sounds really good. Last week, there was a strawberry option, but... And the blueberry crumb cake cookie is intriguing, but I just don't really feel like you went in that direction. I don't think you went fruity, which we thank God for. I don't think you did the German chocolate cake, and here's why. I think that you wanted to make sure we got a cookie this week, and you didn't want to have an incident that we had last week where we had a Oreo cheesecake.
That was a bit upsetting.
And so what I'm really down to is the monster cookie. The monster cookie just seems so right, but it just seems so right. It seems like you went with that.
What'd you say to me out there?
What? And then I kind of was like, you know, I said out there that he was going to throw me a curveball today. And, here's my knock on the monster cookie that I think you might have considered.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little basic. Mm-hmm. It's a little basic. So it's either... it's still in there. It's the strawberry ice cream bar, the monster cookie, the blueberry crumb cake cookie.
oh, okay. I thought you were also going to say the mint one. And so no, I thought you were okay.
No, not right,
so you're
the mint
those
one
three.
Is out. The German chocolate is out because of the incident of last week.
Right.
The monster is super, super basic. You know what, bro? Man.
He's gonna have to lock it in.
All right. I'm gonna go for it. I'll tell you what I hope you got.
Okay.
I hope you got the strawberry one.
Okay.
I hope you got the strawberry one. But I think you got the lemon glaze one. I'm gonna go with, or the blueberry crumb cake cookie.
Final answer.
That's my final answer.
He's one for two, chat.
But I'm happy because I wanted this one.
No, I wasn't gonna get the blueberry one. That sounds like an old lady cookie.
Yeah, I don't really know why I picked that, to be honest with you.
But you're 100% right otherwise. I wasn't going to get a non-cookie. That's why the German chocolate cake was out. Yep. And the M&M one was just like, all right, great. You know, I'm sure it would be great, but it's just a chocolate chip cookie with M&Ms and peanut butter. So, that's why we went with this one.
What in the world? I did not smell it. Not the smell I was expecting to get.
I mean, it just kind of smells cold to me with like a little strawberry.
It's like it's the ice cream bar, right? I don't know why I picked the lemon glaze.
It's all right.
I that was a bad take.
It's all right.
I'm just gonna try.
It would have made a lot of sense for me to get the monster one, but it was just not gonna be it. Thank you.
Oh, this is gonna be good, man.
I'm hopeful that it's.
To be honest with you, after last week, I really thought about it, and I shouldn't have given that Nate that cookie. It was too high. It was too high. Yeah. It was really more like a six.
It wasn't even a cookie. It wasn't even a cookie.
All right, let's go. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's pleasant. It's very sweet.
It's very sweet. And maybe I just didn't get a good bite. But I wish it had a little bit more strawberry flavor to it.
It's pretty subtle.
And I think that a strawberry ice cream bar is strawberry.
I don't know. I feel like they kind of nailed the flavor. I mean, I haven't had one of those.
It's close.
I haven't had one of those, in a bunch of years.
I can get down
with that. But I don't know. Also, you shouldn't have taken a sip because I'm getting hit with a lot of strawberry as it sits in my mouth.
Yeah.
As it's on the way down.
I'll tell you this. I'm really disappointed that I gave the Oreo cheesecake an 8 last week. It was the wrong decision. Well, if I would go back to a 6 because this is better than the Oreo cheesecake last week. Better for a ton of reasons.
Yeah. One, it's a cookie.
It's a cookie. Yeah. Second, I'm eating this entire thing, 100%. It would not even be a concern to eat the entire thing.
Except 960 calories on this.
Right. If we're talking calorically, major concern. Yeah. But if we're talking about just like in general, like it's a solid cookie. My complaint is still, I still persist that there need a little bit more strawberry flavor in there.
You don't think that if there was more strawberry, it would have been too much strawberry?
I kind of expect that from something that's called strawberry ice cream bar.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it was very sweet. I feel like if they really tried to pump the strawberry, it would have been trying to do too much.
Okay.
And so for me, like I think it works pretty well, and it's a good cookie. It was very sweet.
And it was like, very sweet.
Yeah. But it was good.
I
like the crumbs on top.
I'm the type of guy that if you tell me that something is flavored something, I want that to dominate my taste buds a little bit more than I want secondary things to come in.
No, that's fair.
So that's why I took my take, but I could understand where you're coming from a flavor profile point of view.
Yeah.
That you were not happy about or you would not be happy with too much strawberry.
Yeah, I think it was a good amount for me.
Yeah,
I enjoyed.
I'm gonna start to get more on target with my. I'm gonna start to really think through my ratings because I'm really disappointed in last week's. I'm lowering it to a 6.
Man,
it was a 6.
Well,
it was a 6.
I'm not gonna go and change the graphic, but retroactively,
it was a 6 for those of you that watched last week. I am ready to lock this in. I'm ready to lock it in. I know what I'm giving this.
Yeah, I do too. I feel good about it. It feels right to me.
Yeah.
Last week's didn't feel right to me. This one feels right to me.
I'm trying. I'm tossing between two
He's
ratings.
Tossing and turning.
Okay. I'm gonna go with what I initially ripcord reaction thought about the cookie.
I like that for you.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, 7.
7.5.
Okay, you went 7.5. I was between 7 and 7.5.
It screams 7, 7.5.
Yeah, it does, because it doesn't blow you away. It doesn't blow you out of the water, but you're happy with it, and you're having a good experience.
You're not like, man, I wish
I got a different cookie. I don't wish I got a different cookie.
No, it was good. Yeah, it's not going to be your favorite cookie, but it's a good option.
It's just not going to be your favorite cookie.
No.
And it's so weird, dude, how, like, you and me just, like we had kind of different takes on the cookie, but still somehow arrived at the same rating.
Yeah, I mean, mine was a half point higher, which makes sense because I liked it a little bit more than you.
Yeah.
You had, like, that knock on it. But still, even with it, like, working well for me and, like, I thought it was good, it's not blowing you away.
No,
regardless.
It's not.
Even if it had more strawberry and I was, like, a little bit off on it, I wouldn't have given it, like, a 4 kind of thing, you know? No, it was good.
That was good. That was a good rate, that crumble cookie.
It's a good segment.
It's a good segment. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Are you able to stay with me for the real reaction since John Lopes is up in the booth?
Yeah, let me just...
Yeah.
Shout out
to John Lopes, one of our MPAC students. He's hanging out in the back right now. He's going to come over to my house for Bible study tonight at 6:30. Yeah.
Let me just ready. I'm going to hop back there and then hop right back, like, just so that I don't have to like yell to John all the instructions.
All right,
ready?
So you're going to use your teleportation
powers.
Ready?
This is
gonna
be crazy.
Gosh.
Watch this, ready?
Oh my goodness.
No, just real easy like that.
Dude, what?
No problem. I just put my hat down real quick because I didn't want it anymore.
Dude, you tossed that thing as you were about to land. Like, I don't even know what just happened.
Yeah, no, it was quick. It was a quick work.
Anyway.
No problem.
Well, welcome to Real Reactions. Today I got a reel for you because I'm sick and tired of this topic, to be honest with you. I'm just annoyed because too many people keep bringing it up and I just want to... Okay, anyway, just... John, go and hit the video.
Beautiful day, got my Bible, I'm ready to go.
All right. So basically, this guy's argument, and by the way, this guy, he obviously has a channel. Some of his videos are amusing, but to be honest with you, I think that this guy spends too much time focusing on, you know, making fun of churches instead of spreading the gospel. That's just my opinion. But I don't care for, you know, just like constantly like bashing other people and stuff like that. I'm not into that type of stuff. I'm all down to talk about the truth and stuff like that, but like of God's word, but there's a way in which to do it and to make sure that people know that I'm not against anyone, you know, like even this guy in this video, I'm not against him. I'm not against him. I want him to know Christ. I want him to, he may even very well be a real Christian. Like I actually would say that he is, that he really believes upon Christ and stuff. So I'm not even trying to sit here and just like bash anybody, but this video is theologically incorrect. He is basically saying in this video,
in the caption,
the reason why this is a nope is because, they are speaking in tongues corporately, basically, is ultimately what he's saying. And actually, let me take a look and just because I want to represent his viewpoint accurately, is that he says that he believes in the true gift of tongues. Oh, yes. And he basically, his point is that Jesus says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because there are many words. Do not be like them. And he basically is making the point that tongues is something that should be done, it should not be done in a way that everybody is corporately speaking in tongues at one point. Somebody should just, one person should speak in tongues at a time, and then there should be interpretation, okay? So that's what his point is. And I want to be fair with the text of Scripture because I think that I have a responsibility to actually address the issue as opposed to just bash somebody's point of view, right?
Yeah.
So, first off, he brings up the point of not babbling on like the pagans. This is Jesus talking about when we pray and when we talk to God. When we talk to God and bring our requests before him, it is absolutely true that when I speak to God, I do not need to carry on and on to think that I will be heard from God more with my request. However, we are talking about the issue of praying in tongues. We're not talking about bringing our requests before God or trying to talk to God with more lengthy words and making us think that we're going to be more heard from God because we are speaking with our plentiful words, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and in the context in Matthew 6, there was no context surrounding when Jesus was talking about prayer involving tongues.
That's a great point.
It was all just about when you're actually talking to the Lord.
The Holy Spirit hadn't even fallen yet. You're right.
Right.
No, go ahead. Keep what you're saying.
No, I mean, that was pretty much it. Like, he's bringing that text to apply to that video that he played when they were speaking in tongues, when that is not what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6.
And it's more like what Jesus is really talking about here is like if I'm believing God for an open door somewhere, right? I'm believing God for provision, open door for a job. And I pray, you know, Lord, I'm believing you that you're going to provide a job. Father, I stand on your word and what it says. Thank you, Lord, that a job is going to open up for me. That's like an adequate prayer. But what Jesus is talking about is, and then you go and you pray for the next 10 minutes and you just say the same thing 6 different ways, 100 different times. And and you think that because you've said it more times and you carried on about it,
it's more religious.
It's more religious. Right. That's what Jesus is talking about. Praying in tongues is not the issue of what we're talking about here. So there's that. Secondly, in Corinthians, when Paul talks about how when someone prays in tongues, that there ought to be an interpretation. Paul is talking about the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, where somebody publicly gives a tongue to the church, and then there is an interpretation that comes in with that tongue. That is what we are talking about, the spiritual gift of tongues. We are not talking about what happened in Acts chapter 2. There is actually biblical precedence in Acts chapter 2 to a group of people corporately praying in tongues. Where's that in the Bible? Well, the Bible says in Acts 2 that tongues of fire came upon them and they all began to pray in tongues. Actually, go to Acts 2. See if you can read that, Ben.
Yep. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
And they all did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't one at a time. It wasn't. Man. They all did it corporately. So let me ask you, do you think that God is a liar and that God violated his word? And is contradicting himself in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Acts 2? Certainly not. God is not a man that he should lie. God's word doesn't contradict itself. That's not what's happening. We're talking about two different uses of tongues. One in which is the spiritual gift where somebody has a message of tongues. The other is a group of people in one accord praying in the Holy Ghost, building up their faith with one another. And so, if that is true, that it is wrong for them to do what he presented in that video, then that must mean they were wrong in the upper room in the book of Acts for them to all be praying in one accord in tongues. So the Bible is very clear. And too many people have come up to me and have even come up to our students. And they've said, well, I don't agree with how your church prays in tongues because, you know, you guys all pray in tongues. But the Bible says that it should be individual and stuff. Well, you don't understand the fullness of the scriptures because how do you bring Acts 2 into that conversation?
Right.
I know some people would say, well, that was a one-time thing. And it's just like, okay, how do you, go on that.
Like,
yeah.
There's no scripture that says believers shouldn't pray in tongues together and like stir each other up. There's no text that says that.
And the opposite is only
right,
true.
Right.
And not only that, but Peter said this promise is for you, your children, and to those who are far away, to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And so there's actually the opposite indication that this will continue, not that this will cease and end. So it is not wrong to pray in corporate tongues in one accord as believers. If it were wrong, then the believers in Acts 2 were very wrong. There, and like Ben said, what indication do you have that this was a one-time occurrence? In fact, actually, we see this happen in Acts 19 again. Yeah, pull it up. They all get filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 19. Let me see it, though, because I want to find the place that it talks about.
I think it's right there. First couple, isn't it?
There it is.
Yeah.
And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying.
Not one
they,
person.
I mean, hold on. Now we won't go there. I'm just kidding. They began doing it. It wasn't one person. It was they. So it actually happened more than once. It happened twice at least. And I'm actually pretty confident that there's one other text where this happens as well. But I don't want to say it for certain because I actually don't fully remember right now. But we have two instances where this happens. It was not a coincidence that it happened twice. It is biblical to speak in tongues corporately.
Amen.
Done. Anything you want to add?
No. It's two different things that are being discussed. The gift of tongues and just speaking in tongues. And it's just crazy to me, like, there's no scripture for, you know, don't do this. If there was a scripture that said, you know, that was just for, you know, the early church in the book of Acts and that, you know, that's it and we shouldn't do that again, cool. But there's nothing there like that.
And there's scriptural precedence that actually gives us grounds to be able to believe that.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. So, unfortunately, I do not agree with this guy again. I once again want to emphasize, I think that he's wrong. I'm not questioning his salvation or whether he's a brother in Christ or against him or trying to hate on him. But these types of things do need to be corrected so that we have proper understanding in the body of Christ. So anyway, thanks for tuning in to Real Reactions. Ben, thanks for joining me this time around.
No problem, man. You want me to get out of here?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and just do a little sneaky... Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the Uncancelled Podcast. We've already had our Rate That. We've had our Real Reaction. But today I want to do a teaching from God's Word called Dealing with Comparison. Dealing with Comparison. Comparison is something that is natural in the course of life. And just so that I can adequately give us a groundwork or a place to work from the ground up. I want to define comparison. Comparison is looking at the similarities and differences between you and someone else when we're speaking about it in terms of people. You can also compare objects, but when we're talking about people, comparison between people, it is looking at the similarities and differences between one person and another. We can have individual comparison. We can have comparisons between us looking from the outside at two other people. An often comparison is like Michael Jordan and LeBron. That's us looking on the outside in. But I really want to focus on individual comparison. Did you know that there is actually a healthy and unhealthy comparison? Sometimes I think that we can believe that it is always unhealthy for us to make a comparison between us and someone else. And that is not always the case. And we'll talk about how we can do that appropriately. Because remember, the definition of comparison is looking at the similarities and differences between you and someone else. And I'll just quickly say this before you turn me off, because some people are like, no, all comparison is wrong. Let me just say this. It is healthy to evaluate somebody else and see what they might be doing differently than you that you can then apply to your life, as long as it's done with the right attitude and with the right intentions. But I want to talk to you about how to deal with comparison. How do we deal with comparison? First point that I have for you. The first way we deal with comparison is we understand who we are. Understand who we are. Understand who we are. Many teenagers and even adults have an unhealthy comparison issue. They have an unhealthy comparison issue. And this is what an unhealthy comparison sounds like. You know, I just wish that I could be like this or I could be like that. I wish that I looked like them. And we could start to look upon somebody else and almost wish that we were them. Wish that we were them. Wish that we had what they had. And I want to prove this to you from the Bible, but we have to be careful that we don't insult our Creator through unhealthy comparison. Think about this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. And I'm going to use my phone Bible today because I actually left my entire backpack at home. Oh, I should have addressed this. This is my wife's laptop, not mine. I didn't just like suddenly like, you know, decide that I was going to, you know, start going with pink and stuff like that. I just, you know, I'm all right, guys. Don't worry. But this is my wife's laptop. I don't know if this is going to be more work for Ben, and if he can't do it, that's okay. But I'm sure he's capable. But if it's going to take too long, don't worry about it. But can we just get a little like arrow, wife's laptop, like right there, just like awesome. That would be great. Doesn't have to. What's up? You know, it'd be kind of funny if it just popped in and out throughout the entire time. But like if that's too much, at least once or throughout the entire thing, that's cool. That would be kind of funny. Ben does a great job, by the way, with all this type of stuff. He has very little training in this area that someone really has like taught him, and he's very much so self-learned, and it's just incredible to see how God has graced him to be able to do that. But anyway, wife's laptop. Don't worry, guys. I'm not like, you know, melancholy or today or whatever, and looking down upon myself. If you don't understand why that's funny, it's because you didn't watch Rate That. Don't worry about it. Anyway, back to the Bible teaching. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make human beings. That's you and I, obviously. I would hope that you would identify as such because that is what you are. In our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. You know something that actually bothers me? And I know people laugh when you bring this topic up because it does seem very silly. People believing that they are animals and they are not human beings. And when I read this scripture, something that immediately comes to mind is when somebody is identifying themselves as an animal, they do not understand their identity in the Lord. And the reason why they don't understand their identity in Christ and the Word of God is because God created us human beings as over animals, as to have dominion over them. So it's very sad for me to see people identify as that. And I want people to know their real identity in Christ. God has made us, given us all authority in this earth. There is nothing better and higher than being a human being on this earth. Obviously, there is God who is higher than us, but on this earth, we are God's greatest creation. Why are we God's greatest creation? Well, God said about us, let us make man in our image. God did not say about the animals, let us make animals in our image. God said about us, let us make human beings in our image. What does that mean, human beings in our image? Now, when God says our, God is not like using special pronouns or whatever or anything like that, because I have heard people on TikTok try to teach that God was like non-binary or whatever because he said, let us make human beings in our image. What a slap in the face to our God. But what is actually happening is there is a understanding that God is three in one, that God is three distinct persons, yet one at the same time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So no, God is not non-binary. This is talking about the Trinity is basically what we're referring to here. But anyway, what does it mean that God has made us in his image? Well, it does not necessarily mean, and I may shock you with this, that we look like God. In terms of when I get to heaven, wow, God is a spitting image of Ben Stanley. Or God is a spitting image. Somehow God looks exactly like me and like Ben Stanley. Me and Ben have very, very different features. You know, God looks just like Pastor Brianna and Pastor Joey, like exactly like them at the same time. No, what I believe this means, and many Bible scholars agree with me on this, is that we possess many of the same qualities and attributes of God. We possess many of the same qualities and attributes of God, that God shares qualities and attributes with us. But Don't let that discourage you if you've used that scripture to encourage yourself about your appearance. Because sometimes, you know, people will preach, don't let anybody tell you that you're ugly. You're made in the image of God. And now you're like, wait, I can't say that I look like God anymore. I can't say, like, have confidence in how I look now because Pastor Joey just blew this scripture up on me. Let me encourage you with this scripture. And don't worry, I'm getting to comparison and understanding who we are. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork. We are God's, or some translations say, workmanship. You were handcrafted by God. You are the workmanship of God. So although, you know, maybe saying that we look exactly like God would be a stretch in the scriptures, for me to say I might not look exactly like God, but I am the handiwork of God. Some translations say we are God's masterpiece. God has crafted you and created you in such a way so you can be confident in how you look. You can be confident in, you know, in your physical appearance because I have been created as a handiwork of God. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be attractive to all people. Hear me on that. That doesn't mean you're going to be attractive to all people because different people might be attracted to, you know, different types of people that look different ways. But it does mean that you are made as a masterpiece of God. And so you can understand who you are with God and you don't have to let the comparison of somebody else having blonde hair or somebody else having this type of body or somebody else having that type of body discourage you because you can be confident in the fact that I'm God's handiwork. I don't have to have an unhealthy comparison with somebody else where I look at them and I now want to be them because I wish that I looked the way they did or I wish they acted the way they did. But listen to this. Listen to this. Sometimes comparison can be appropriate and healthy if we look at somebody and we see that we maybe want to be in better shape. And we go, man, you know, they're in really good shape. I want to be in better shape too. Now there are maybe things you can do to change the way that you look physically so that you can actually look like the way that that God wants your body to look. God doesn't want our bodies to be overweight. The Bible talks about how our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about how physical exercise does profit little. It says these things. So it is not wrong for me to look at someone like Ben and go, man, you know what? Maybe I need to hit the gym a little bit more to get myself in better shape. As long as I don't let that turn into me now insulting my creator and saying, God, why didn't you create me to look more like Ben? Also realizing that Ben worked very hard to be able to get to the place where he has the body that he has today. So there is a healthy comparison where I can evaluate myself and say, maybe there are some changes that I can make to be able to enhance my life. So now I'm learning from someone, whereas an unhealthy comparison now longs to be someone who your creator did not make you to be. Understanding who you are in God is so important. Your security in who God has made you to be will keep you from comparison that is unhealthy and detrimental to your growth as a Christian and detrimental to your life as a Christian. Being secure in who you are. Who am I in God? Who am I in God? And when you accept and understand this is who God has made me to be, who God has made you to be is always, of course, in accordance with his word, right? It's in accordance with his word. You know, I can't say, well, you know, God has just made me to be this way, but it's really something sinful that's not in agreement with God's word. That's not who God's made you to be. But when we understand how God has made us and created us and who he's made us to be, and we accept that and embrace who God has made us to be, we can now live a life of security where we don't have an unhealthy comparison because comparison will kill you. Comparison will kill you. I was going to get to this later, but I'm going to get to it now. Comparison destroyed Saul. Comparison destroyed Saul. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Beginning in verse 7. It says, as they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. What happened? There was a comparison that was made. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought. But with me, only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. Saul was not secure in who God had made him to be. What do I mean by that? Pastor Joey, what are you saying? Listen to this. So these people were making a comparison. Well, David slayed 10,000s, but Saul only his thousands. Saul might have, Saul might have done these things, but David has done these greater things. And Saul allowed that comparison to make him insecure about what? About a position that God had put him in. Saul allowed that insecurity for him to think, maybe David's going to come and take my kingdom then. Maybe David's going to come and overtake me. Instead of being secure in the fact that God had put him in this position and that nobody was going to be able to take him out of that position other than God, because God was the one that put him there. When we understand that God has made us to be, or that God has promoted us to a certain place, or that God has made us to be who he has made us to be, and we are secure in that, we're not concerned with what somebody else is doing because we know what God has made us to be. Now, David did eventually replace Saul in the kingdom. He did. But guess what? It wasn't because David usurped him and took him out. It was because Saul took himself out. Saul began to get insecure. Saul began to not live for the Lord. Saul began to turn his back on God. And so God took the kingdom from Saul and his family and anointed David to be king. David did not rise to power by taking over for Saul. David actually humbly waited and served Saul until the time came where he was going to be king. We cannot allow ourselves to have unhealthy comparisons and that are ultimately rooted in our lack of security and who God has made us to be. So don't be like Saul. Be secure who God has made you to be. Be secure in the position that God has put you in, understanding that if I do things by the way of God and I do things by trusting God, that I am not going to be able to be removed because God is the one who has put me here. Be secure in who God has made you to be. David was very secure in who God had made him to be. David was very secure. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. David was very secure in who God had made him to be. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 32. I hope this is helping some people right now. It said, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." How is David being secure in who he was? Well, I'm going to keep reading this text, actually, but I wanted to stop here. Saul challenges him and says, "David, you can't do that. David, you are not a soldier." And David could have said, "Yeah, you're right. I'm not really a soldier. I guess I can't really do this." But instead, he humbly and boldly embraced the fact that he was a shepherd boy. "Yeah, I may not be a soldier, but I am a shepherd. And in my shepherding, this is what I have done." But watch this. David goes even further. He embraces the fact that he was a shepherd serving in his father's field. He humbly embraces that. But he does something even greater than that. He doesn't find his identity in self. He finds his identity in the Lord. What does he say? He says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." In other words, it's no different. It's no different that it's a lion or a bear or this or that. The same God that protected me there will protect me here. Understanding who we are is founded in God. If we do not know who we are in God, if we don't embrace our identity in God, then we really will never be able to be fully secure and find ourselves. But David embraces, "I'm not worried about that, because I know that my identity is in the one who has always protected me and always has rescued me from every single problem in my life. David, it then goes on to say, Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go out in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistines. What happened? David was secure in who he was. David understood who he was. David said, yeah, this armor thing is not really me. That's ultimately what David said. Now, some have speculated that David's armor didn't fit him and stuff, and Saul's armor didn't fit him, and that is a possibility. But David says, you know, I'm not used to these. This is not really me. This is not who I am. And so David instead embraces the fact that he is a shepherd boy, and he steps out in embracing that, and he goes and he takes down Goliath. That is a powerful principle that we can apply here. Be who God has made you to be. Don't try to put on somebody else's armor. Don't try to be someone else when God is trying to use you as he's created you to be. God already had a Saul. He did not have a David. God already had a Saul, but he needed a David. You would not be alive if God did not need you. There is something unique in the world that you have to offer. As a pastor and as a preacher, I must remember, God already has the guys that I listen to. I don't need to become another one of them. Instead, I need to be Joey Santora. God already has a them. That's why God needs a me. Be who God has created you to be. Embrace who God has made you to be. Don't worry about what other people say to you. Don't worry about comparisons of, well, they do this and they do that. Yeah, they may do that, but guess what? This is what I do. We have to have, keep ourselves limited to healthy comparisons. And to avoid unhealthy comparison in our life, we need to understand who we are in God. Understanding who we are in God. Now, if I understand who I am in God, when I see somebody doing something differently than me, it will cause me to evaluate what I do in a healthy way where I can then learn from them as opposed to feel threatened by them. Understand who you are in God. I was going to read another text, but I'm going to keep going to the next point because I think that we got that point across. Understand who you are in God. Be confident to say it. David wasn't afraid to say that he was a king that was anointed by God. He wasn't afraid. He fully embraced his identity. Fully embraced his identity and who God had made him to be. Second point, understand the level you're at. Understand the level you're at. A lot of unhealthy comparison begins to happen when you compare yourself to someone who is ahead of you. A lot of unhealthy comparison. Now, there is a healthy comparison that you can do when somebody's ahead of you, and we'll get to that. But it is very unhealthy to compare yourself to somebody else and feel discouraged and threatened by what they're doing that you're not doing. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I want to read this to you. The Bible says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Or in other words, don't think of yourself better than you really are. That's how one translation puts it. This is so important. We cannot think about ourselves as more highly than we really are. And we have to be honest in our evaluation of ourselves. I'm not going to sit here and put myself at the same level as Pastor Frank. I'm not going to sit there and put myself at the same level as somebody that has a mega ministry like Bishop Dag Haywood Mills. Like, yeah, you know, we're kind of on the same level. I was talking to Ben last night about this guy that thinks he's awesome at a sport. And we were talking about, we were saying, man, I wonder if this guy thinks that he could take on an NBA player and beat them. And we were just kind of laughing about that. And I think about that something like that, though. I'm not in the NBA. I know that if any NBA player came into a gym to play me in one-on-one, I would lose. Why? I'm not at the level that they are. I have to be honest in my evaluation of myself. I have to be honest of the level that I am at. So that's the first thing that people can have a problem with, is if you're not honest in the level that you're at, if you think of yourself as more highly or at a higher level than you really are, it can lead you to feel frustrated when you see somebody that is on a higher level than you doing greater and higher things than you. Those things should not threaten you when somebody is doing something at a higher level than you. It should encourage you and encourage you to sit at their feet and learn from them. And learn from them. Don't feel threatened and discouraged when somebody at a higher level is doing things at a greater pace and higher level than you are. They should be, because they're ahead of you. Zechariah 4:10 says this: don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of starting, where you're beginning on something. This was in reference to the building of the temple. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise that day where you're beginning or starting in the thing that God is doing. Don't despise the fact that you might be a youth group student right now, and you look at your youth leaders who seem so far ahead of you, or you look at your youth pastor, if it's me or if it's somebody else, and you see how far ahead that they are of you. Don't despise yourself in that day of small beginning and think, man, I'm never going to be anything. Like, they're just so far ahead of me. Instead of allowing that to discourage you, do what Romans 12:3 says and be honest. Yeah, I'm a student right now. And instead of me getting down on myself and despising this day of small beginning, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to learn from them, so that when I am their age, that I can grow and even surpass the level that they are at. Be honest in the level that you are at. If you understand the level that you're at and you're honest in that evaluation, it will very easily help you avoid an unhealthy comparison of things. Luke 16:10. Understand that the level that you're at, and do well with the level that you're at. Do well with it. If you want to do something great for God, you have to be faithful at the level that you're at. The Bible says in Luke 16, verse 10, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Or in other words, if you're faithful in the little, then you can be trusted with greater things. But if you're not faithful in the little, you can't be trusted with anything more. And so we have to understand, I'm at this level. This is what I need to be faithful with. I'm not trying to be faithful with something that Bishop Dag Haywood Mills is being faithful with, because that's not the level that I'm at. I'm not trying to run an entire church, because that's not the level that I'm at. I'm not trying to do Pastor Frank's job, because that's not the level that I'm at. And Pastor Frank is our senior pastor at our church, and he's also my father. I'm not trying to run the church. I'm right now being entrusted with Impact Youth, with running the youth group. That is the level that I need to be faithful at, is dealing with that. And when I'm faithful in that, God can bring me to a higher place. But I need to understand the level that I'm at. How discouraging would it be for me to look up at somebody with a mega ministry at the level that I'm at and go, man, they're just doing so much more than me. Yes, and they should be doing more than me. Understand the level that you're at. When I look at someone doing something great for God, I look at it and I go, man, that's awesome. I want to do something great for God like that. Let me learn what they're doing so that I can eventually do that and do even greater. Know who is ahead of you. Don't despise them, but learn from them. Know who is ahead of you. Don't despise them and learn from them. Many arrogant people don't understand who is ahead of them. They don't understand. They just have no sense of who is ahead of them spiritually. Who's ahead of them just in life in general. It's not just spiritually. It's like somebody's had a construction company that's been wildly successful for 25 years and you're just starting in construction and you think you're on the same level. Something that is actually a funny story that the Lord's just bringing back to my memory right now. When I was 8 years old, I was at Kids Kingdom. You remember Kids Kingdom, Ben? John, do you still go to Kids Kingdom? Or, you know, you probably don't go, but did you go? You used to go, okay, it's in Brookfield. It's like a little park. And we would go there for our faith prep school trip every single year. And that's the private school that I went to, private Christian school that's attached to your church. And I was playing soccer. And there was this adult there that had played soccer like all his life. He was like 40. And he was really good. And he just kept stealing the ball from me. And I got so frustrated. And he walked over to me and he said, I've been playing soccer for 25 years. He said, do you really expect to be better than me? And I said, yes. And now I see what he meant and how foolish that was. And now granted, I think I was 7 years old or 6 years old. The understanding I had was so little. But looking back on that story, the answer is no. Of course I'm not going to be able to act on the same level as them. Not only to mention that his body's more mature and fully developed than me, all that stuff. So I have to be honest in the level that I'm at and be content where I'm at. And instead of despising people who are ahead of me, I'm going to learn from them. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back. But think about what I have done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant, or in other words, he served him. What happened? Elijah, this prophet, came and basically said to Elisha, come and follow me. That's what it meant when he threw the cloak on him. He said, come follow me, and I'm going to raise you up. And Elijah was obviously much at a different level than Elisha, way ahead of him. And Elisha responds by burning this plow or leaving everything behind and following the call of God. That's how the call of God works, by the way. You leave everything else behind and there is no backup plan and you follow the call of God. But anyway, Elisha, then it says, the Bible says, he went with him and he served as his assistant, or he was his servant. What happened? Elisha served. He was humble enough to realize, okay, this guy is on a way higher level than me. I'm going to serve him. But then guess what happened after he served him? He actually received a double portion than what Elijah had. He received double. What happens when you serve underneath something and you humble yourself under someone who is at a higher level than you, instead of having an unhealthy comparison, you look at them, you begin to have a healthy point of view, a healthy comparison, say, I'm going to serve them, I'm going to learn from them, and what happens is on the other side of that, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. You will actually get to start where they finished. Their ceiling will be your floor. That's an amazing thing. But we have to understand the level that we are at in order for there to be a healthy level of comparison taking place in our life and not something that is unhealthy that destroys us. Elisha could have said, oh my gosh, this guy wants me to come and follow him and stuff like that. He's way ahead of me. I can never do that. And it could have actually destroyed him. But instead, he humbled himself and he served Elisha. Last point I want to make in dealing with comparison. First, we have to understand who we are in God. Second, we have to understand the level that we're at. Third, we have to understand our importance to the body of Christ. We have to understand our importance to the body of Christ. While there are different levels in God, each one of us has an importance to the body of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. This is Paul. He's talking about spiritual gifts. And he's talking about all the different types of spiritual gifts that there are. And he's talking about them. And he is basically saying, in regard to the spiritual gifts, that we shouldn't look at one person or the other and compare ourselves to them and let ourselves feel inferior or superior based on a gift that somebody's operating in. So let's read this. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that hand does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. What does this text do? This text does something powerful. It deals with an issue of inferiority. How so? It deals with inferiority because this text is saying, guess what? It doesn't matter how small you might feel, you are still of extreme value to the body of Christ. An ear cannot say, I'm not valuable to the body, because without an ear, we would be unable to hear. An ear can't say, man, I just wish that I was a mouth, because, you know, I just think that the mouth is, you know, the most important thing. Because without the ear, we would be unable to hear. So we cannot feel inferior because of our placement within the body of Christ. We have to understand that we are of value and of great importance to the body of Christ, despite what level that we are at. We should not feel inferior. We should not feel inferior. But also this analogy of the body guards against superiority. It deals with inferiority because it says, guess what? We need an ear so that we can hear. We need you to be able to do what you do, because without you, we don't have this thing that the body of Christ needs. But then it says it deals with superiority. How? Because guess what? You're a part of a greater body. Even though you might be an ear in the body of Christ, without the rest of the body, you're nothing. You're just an ear by itself. It also keeps us humble, but it doesn't bring us to a point of feeling inferior or feeling invaluable or feeling, I'm sorry, not valuable. It deals with both of these issues. We have to understand that we all have an equal importance to the body of Christ. We all have an equal importance to the body of Christ. Actually, let me more say it like this. We all have an equal value to the body of Christ, in the sense that we bring something to the table, is what I mean by that. We all bring something to the table in the body of Christ, that this person offers this, this person offers that. And I'm not going to look at somebody else that is operating differently than me, or somebody that is bringing something different to the table, and say, man, I wish that I were them, because I have value that I bring. But I'm also not going to look at them and say, man, I'm so much better than them. Man, we don't need them. I'm not going to think that either, because they are also of value to the body of Christ. And without them, I'm just one body part. We have to this helps us stay humble very much when we really think about ourselves as just a part in the body of Christ. We are a part in a larger body that is at work. Comparison can be crippling. Comparison can destroy us. But if we properly understand who we are in Christ, the level that we are at, and our importance to the body of Christ, then we will not have an unhealthy comparison that will cripple us. Let me encourage you to not view comparison as always a bad thing, but view it as something that, if done properly, you can look at it and say, you know what? I see that this person's doing this. That's a great thing to do. Let me learn from that. Dealing with comparison. Understand who you are in Christ. Understand who you are in Christ. That's really the biggest one. The other two are very important as well. But that's a really big one, understanding who you are in Christ. Because when you become secure and comfortable in the identity that Christ has given you, everything else just kind of flows from that. Like, yeah, that's who I am. Understand that you don't function necessarily in the same role. Like me and Ben, for example, Ben has a very different functionality in the ministry and in the body of Christ than I do. And it would be foolishness for us to compare ourselves to each other, because we do two completely different things that are both extremely valuable to the kingdom of God. He needs me and I need him. And so there's no point in me comparing. If you have a friend that's ahead of you, a friend that seems to be, you know, ahead of you and seems to be more knowledgeable in the things of God. Don't let that discourage you or bring you down, but let it humble you to learn from them instead. This is a topic that really needs to be preached to a generation, because I really hate to see unhealthy comparison. I hate to see people post selfies on their Instagram just so that they can have people tell them how beautiful that they are. Just so that they can, you know, oh man, I'm just feeling down on myself. Look at her, look at her. And even the selfie culture, to be honest with you, and posting photos of yourself, unfortunately, it has propagated a feeling of inferiority from other people going, man, look at her. She's so beautiful. She has all this going on, and I only have this. And it puts us down. Instead, if you look at a photo of somebody else, you can look at them and realize that they're beautiful, that they're pretty. Or you, when you look at somebody preaching and you realize how gifted that they are, you can recognize how gifted they are. When you see somebody doing something excellent in the business world or something excellent in a field that you want to go into, you can look at it and acknowledge the greatness of what they're doing. But don't allow that greatness to destroy you. Don't allow that greatness to lead to an unhealthy comparison. Allow it to instead recognize the unique role that they play in the totality of things, and that you can learn something from them, and that you also have something unique to bring to the table. I hope that this teaching really did bless you, and I hope that it put into perspective comparison issues and really put to bed this problem that really is plaguing our society. So I hope that this teaching really did bless you. I want to give you an opportunity to sow today. We are entering into our Back to School Bash, which is an evangelistic event that we do every single year. We do two every single year, one in the spring, one in the fall, one to, I guess, celebrate the beginning of spring, summer, and one to celebrate the fall. So I guess one to celebrate the end of the school year, one to celebrate the beginning of the school year. And these events are designed to win people for Jesus Christ. We create an environment where students that do not know God come in. They get to hear the word of God, a gospel message, get an opportunity to give their life to Christ, and they have a great time coming. We did this last event, and over $8,500 came in for the event. And that was not because we begged people for money, which is not what I'm doing right now. What I'm doing is I am giving you an opportunity to sow. We are going to have everything that we need provided for. I'm going to speak that by faith. We're going to have everything that we need provided for. There is a God in heaven that takes care of his children. And there is a God in heaven that will rain manna from heaven for his kids, if that is what is necessary to be done. So I have no concern about money coming in. I'm giving you an opportunity to be able to sow today. That's all I'm doing. You having an opportunity to sow seed into good soil that will produce a harvest in your life. That's really all that I'm doing right now, is giving you that opportunity to do that. So today's an opportunity for you to sow into that event. You can sow by going to faithchurch.cc/give. The giving slide is behind me. Make sure to click the drop-down impact if you have something that you would like to sow, so that the money can be properly allocated. I promise you, all money that is given towards this event will go towards this event. That is where we are putting it. This is going into good soil. If you don't want to give today, or you feel pressured to give today, then don't give. Again, we don't need anyone's money, because we have a God in heaven who is our source, who will make it happen for us. Amen? But if you're ready to give, or you have something you'd like to give, go ahead and just raise it up right where you are, and I'm going to pray us out, and then we'll close the podcast. Father, thank you for everybody that's decided in their heart to sow. I pray in the name of Jesus that that seed would come back to them in a greater measure according to your word. Thank you that you supply seed to the sower. Father, I thank you for those who are genuinely giving a seed that really matters to them. I thank you for it coming back into their lap. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that comparison will not be done in an unhealthy way by anyone watching this, but rather we will understand who we are in you. We will understand what the Bible says, and we will be satisfied in who we are in God. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the Uncancelled Podcast. Hope that you join us next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Uncancelled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncancelled. God bless.